Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today we've got a great bartender revenge story. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, text my friends behind my back. Let's have a group meeting. So a few years ago, I was kind of seeing this guy. I had been to his house, accidentally met his parents, even though it wasn't anything serious. I quite liked him, but it wasn't in the relationship stage yet, more just taking it easy. He would text me all the time and always want to see me whenever he could, etc. I ended up talking to my friend about it, so obviously she asked for a picture. And as I showed her, I could just see on her face what was coming. He had also been meeting up with her. Not only that, but she let me know that he was also trying it on with her close friend too. Okay, no skin off my nose, but we didn't want to let him get away with trying to mess us all around, so we decided to surprise him. I carried on talking with him like nothing had happened, and he'd asked me to come over that weekend and meet his best friend and hang out together. So I agreed and showed up at his door with the two other girls and walked in to sit down and have a chat with him. He was absolutely mortified, to say the least. And it made it even funnier that his friend had no idea what was happening, so he just figured it was a little get-together and started asking the girls questions about who they are and how they know this guy. In the end, I ended up getting bored of it and went to leave, and he ended up running after me, apologizing about meeting the girls and asking for another chance. The player life is not for you, my friend. I guess you can't fault the guy for trying, but you want to talk about somebody that's just going to ruin their reputation and just reek of desperation? Random Coffee Thoughts wrote, "Bahaha, I found out a friend and I were seeing the same guy, and believe me, the chances were so incredibly slim it could happen, but it happened. The look on his face when he saw us walk into the bar together was priceless. The chances of two girls you're dating meeting are slim, but never zero." Also, hi, I'm Steven, and if you guys enjoy awesome stories of revenge, it would be amazing if you left a like or left a review if you're listening to my podcast. That said, our next story is Landlord Refuses to Make Repairs. I own a small business and have been renting a unit in a complex for about a decade. A few years ago, the longtime owner of the complex sold the property to a new group. Initially, they made some nice improvements to the property, updating signage, repaving the parking lot, painting the facade, and some other cosmetic work. The terms of my original lease were that the owner of the property handled all repairs to vital infrastructure, plumbing, roofing, etc. The previous owner thought that should be his responsibility, since it was his property at the end of the day. During the course of some of the renovations, the power to my AC unit was cut. I didn't realize it, as it was wintertime when the repairs happened. I run a business where we don't need the heat, and I only run the AC in the late spring through summer, so there's literally a few months where we're not using the HVAC at all. I called my property manager, and he proceeded to tell me it wasn't their problem, and that the terms of our lease were now NNN. Luckily, it was just an issue with the outlet, and I was able to switch the plug with no issues or additional cost to me. There have been a few other issues that the management refused to address that have been mildly infuriating, namely their repeated insistence that we have a triple net lease. A few months later, we had a water leak. The valve to toilet had failed. Once again, the landlord tried to tell me it was my issue, but I fought back this time and produced a copy of my lease that clearly stated that all water-related issues are management's problem. I don't pay for water or gas utility, and it's included in my rent. This is going to be important later. Begrudgingly, he sent a plumber to repair the toilet. While he was here, I mentioned that our utility sink was also dripping, and he should have the plumber look at it. He declined to do so. The drippy faucet has turned into a pretty steady stream. We tried turning the water off at the valves, but the old gate valves have so much calcium buildup, they still won't close all the way. I've mentioned it to our landlord repeatedly and still no repair. It's been about a year, and the faucet continues to consistently run. My dad was a plumber for a while, and I'm perfectly capable of fixing the issue, but out of spite, I refuse to. I had a small leak at my house once, and it drove my bill almost $100 for the month over normal. I figure at least $1,000 in water has literally gone down the drain, not to mention, the water is also being heated by the gas water heater. Stuff like this is certainly why A, you keep that lease in the contract you signed somewhere very safe, but B, when you move into a place like that, you document everything that is even like mildly wrong with it, send it to the building owner, the landlord, or whatnot, have it documented that you did not cause any of this stuff to go on. Sycamore wrote, "Did you sign a new lease with a new owner? If not, they should need to honor the original lease agreement." Our next story is Hotel Room Lesson with Feces and Milky Condom. This petty revenge story took place in 2008 in Rhodos Island, Greece. I was visiting the island for 8 days for a university vacation event, and I was sharing a very small hotel room with two friends. One of these friends was a funny guy, but also a weirdo who loved saying and doing shocking things and making others uncomfortable every chance he got with complete disregard of social rules and decency. While we shared the tiny room, he would wake up every morning at 7 a.m., which is insane while being on vacation, and would start moving around furniture, the entire bed and bedside table, making a lot of noise to create space to work out. His workout was just jumping around while huffing and stomping his feet on the floor and turning on the air conditioner and setting it to 16 degrees Celsius, which is quite cold for a small room. So naturally, every morning, the freaker would wake us up with an insane amount of noise and him huffing and sweating over our heads while we froze. He would also use the bathroom and wouldn't clean up afterwards, and he had clogged the shower drain with hair, which he refused to move. We told him to stop because he was ruining our rest, and also got several complaints from other rooms for all the noise he made so early every morning. Of course, he was completely unfazed and continued doing his thing. On the fourth day, I had enough and decided to take action. One afternoon, I entered the bathroom and turned off the water supply and removed the valve so it couldn't be turned on. I flushed the toilet so there would be no water, and then used a plastic cup to empty the water from the toilet bowl. Then I proceeded to take a dump, which of course was not submerged in water, and there was no way to flush it. I also placed a condom filled halfway with condensed milk on the doorknob from his side. I took the bathroom key and waited. The moment he entered the bathroom, I locked him inside and turned off the light. He was trapped in darkness with the smell of fresh crap with no windows. He freaked and started yelling and banging the door while trying to turn the
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. Doorknob, only to find out there was something sticky and slimy on it. But he didn't know what it was, since there was no light and the door wouldn't open. He was yelling about the horrible stench and the yucky thing that was on his hands, which I told him was a certain male substance. He gagged and screamed to let him out. I told him that he needs to respect others, and when asked to stop doing stupid crap politely, he should do it and play nice with his roommates. He threatened to start screaming to draw attention from other rooms and we would be in trouble, to which I responded that, even if they hear him, he would be the one blamed, since he already had amassed several complaints against him and he had no proof of what I was doing to him, and the most possible outcome would be him being severely reprimanded from the university for his behavior, which reflected badly on its image. In other words, he was freaked and there was nothing he could do. I left him in there for nearly 2 hours while scolding him for his behavior through the door and him begging to let him out. After I opened the door, he was completely dejected and sad. From that day onward, he stopped his bull and was a good boy. So, I mean, it worked. But where did OP formulate this plan? Where in their mind did they go, "Oh, I know what the trick here is. Evaporate all of the water in the bathroom and take a dump and lock him in there." Of course. CrazyBlue25 wrote, "What a creative way to exact revenge." Our next story is, "Pass me over? Okay, I'll leave." This is only a small piece of pettiness on my part. I have a 0-hour contract working in hospitality. A full-time supervisor role came up, and since I have experience in that area, I thought, why not? Interview went really well with the assistant manager. We had a laugh and a chit-chat along with answering the same old boring questions. I added flair, don't worry. Soon after, I had a major illness. The kind you don't want to be around food. So I took 4 days off to be clear of it. My first day back is a training day. Comments are made about being short-staffed, unable to fill more of the 0-hour contracts and how we need some help. Luckily, they filled the supervisor role and she'll be starting next week. It ain't me, and this is the first time I'm hearing I've been clearly unsuccessful in my application. I get a half-hearted apology from the manager at the end of the day's sessions with a, "I like to do these things in person, but you were off sick. You would have gotten the role, yet the other candidate can fill the hours we need." They wanted me to guarantee that I could work 60 to 70 hours a week, despite this not being what the job states and entails. I told them I'd happily do 50 or 60 in the busy season, which I think is more than satisfactory to anyone else. Anyhow, I left for home and got a call for a job I'd interviewed for before I went off sick. I was hedging my bets, and glad I did. So I'll be off to work a 3-day work week elsewhere for more money. See you later. Oh, and good luck filling that extra 0-hour role with no job security. Added, personally, I think they thought they'd got lucky finding someone for the supervisor role. They were struggling for months, and presumed I'd stay on the very needed lower role. Now they're down 3 needed members instead of just 2. Update, HR emailed and would love to schedule an exit interview. What is your advice, Reddit? How honest am I being? Should I keep it snappy? Or just don't bother altogether? So as long as actually replying with honesty and being snappy wouldn't cause you to in any way endanger your job in the general field, like it wouldn't cause a reputation where other employers would be like, "Oh, I've heard bad things about you," then I'd say realistically, there's 2 ways. The brutally honest, extra snappy, "Look, you did this wrong. For your sake, do better next time," or just don't even do it at all. I think that's either the 2 options I would pick from. Velgal wrote, "Yeah, grimy play. I remember applying for a full-time from part-time. A few others did. I asked the manager on his way out if he selected. He said, 'No, I haven't made up my mind. I'm about to go on vacation and I'll mull it over and let you know when I get back.' 'Okay, no problem.' He walks out the door. My coworker runs up to me, 'Yo, I got the full-time slot.' I quit over AOLIM within the next couple weeks." This next story is, neighbor Karen gets evicted. So I shared parts of this previously, but there were updates I never got to finish. It's not a short one, but it is very satisfying. I shared a duplex with my then girlfriend and her son, 7. To fully understand all of this, I have to lay out the geography. This is a single house duplex with both doors in the middle with a shared small front porch. The house was built on the side of a hill. Our half was on the uphill side, so underneath the other unit are both garages side by side. The sidewalk comes up from the garages in front of the other unit directly under the shared front porch. There's also a back porch, but it has a divider, so we share a moderate amount of privacy. We got a new neighbor one day, but didn't meet her until a couple of weeks after she'd moved in. We'll call her Karen. She's mid to late 50s, skinny, and has cats. Lots of cats. We can see them in the windows. Our meeting went as such. One day, we're out washing our cars in the front yard, me, the girlfriend, and her kid. The hose wouldn't reach the driveway. I also have a pair of motorcycles that I'm washing too. They'll be important later. We're having a fun afternoon in the sun, playing with the hose. You know the scene. All kinds of cute and happy. This is when our neighbor comes home. Karen drives along the driveway, parks in the garage, and walks up the sidewalk where we are. We politely introduce ourselves and even joke that if she pulls her car up here, we'd wash it too. She all but ignores us and walks straight to her door. We shrug it off, but then she returns and goes straight vapor lock, setting the mood for the rest of the year. She starts nagging in an angry, almost screaming tone that she doesn't want us on her half of the yard. We can't be on her half, which included the sidewalk since it went through her half of the front yard. We needed to get off of her side of the yard. Since the sidewalk was on her half, it was hers, and we couldn't use it. We would have to go around the back to get to our door. That's not happening. And also wants us to stop using the garage door opener because she doesn't like the noise it makes when we do. That's obviously not happening. She's upsetting my girlfriend and her kid. I have to calm them both down and get them inside while Karen's still yelling with a jabbing finger. No, I'm an easygoing guy. I can let it roll off. But the girlfriend and kid didn't deserve that. I got them both to calm down. He needed ice cream, she needed a beer and smoke, and Karen needed to be taught a lesson. I go to put the cars and bikes away. It's during this that I can hear Karen through the garage ceiling on the phone with what I can only assume is our landlord, benching about how rude and insufferable we are. We scare her cats, really? And we keep running the garage door and it bothers her. She doesn't like it. We just have to go. The light bulb goes off. Both of my bikes are carbureted. And for the life of me, I can't remember the
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Last time I had them adjusted. Since car washing was cut short, maybe I can do that instead. I pull mine and the girlfriend's car out of the garage. I'm going to need the space. Then I park the bike side by side, exhaust pipes facing into the garage. I break out the tools and start with the little one. She's a 2001 V-Star 1100 Classic. I named her Molly. Vance and Heinz pipes, but they're still pretty loud. I crank Molly up and wail on that throttle while I fine-tune the throttle body. Just ripping it as loud as she can, filling that garage with all of the noise. Kept that up for a few minutes, then let her rest a minute. When I finally put Molly to bed, I can finally hear Karen stomping on the floor and yelling at me. I yell back, "Okay, Karen, just one more to go. Only be a few minutes." Then I turn my attention to Black Betty. She's the 08 Vulcan Mean Streak Limited Edition. She's an 1800. She has pipes too, but the baffles may or may not have been drilled out. Before I can crank it up, I hear her calling what I assume is the landlord and yelling that she doesn't care about a lease. She wants us kicked out. She just won't stand for it. I didn't catch the rest of it as Betty was clearing her throat. I gave up the subterfuge of actually working on it and just held the throttle open for a moment, then rest, then throttle, then rest. Kept that up till my own ears started ringing. Then put the vehicles away. She was still stomping on the floor and talking on the phone. I assumed this was someone other than the landlord because she's retelling the same story again. Also, did I mention that we're friends with the landlord? Yeah, so once I'm back inside, the girlfriend is on the phone with him. We tell our side. He laughs at my prank with the bike and then asks me to not do that anymore. We finish off the evening with some TV while Karen is still screaming. Her voice is wavering as though she might be angry crying. In the coming months, it only got worse. But in that moment, the most committed of meth heads could not match me for the endorphin rush I got from hearing her rant and squeal. A few days later, I'm out on my way to work. I leave at about 6 to make it in time to have breakfast at the desk before I log on at 7. I go around to the garage, and Karen has left her car outside her garage and positioned it so I can't get my car out. I knock on her door, and of course, she doesn't answer. Bang on it a few more times, nothing. I even yell at the door, "Hey Karen, you're blocking my car, I need to get to work." This is clearly her petty revenge for the bikes, I'm sure. Good shot, Karen. Good one. Fortunately, it's a nice day, so I can just take one of them to work. The bike can fit around her car, but thanks to her, I wasn't going to have time to enjoy my breakfast once I got there. That evening, I came home and her car was still there, so instead of putting it back in the garage, I leave the bike parked behind her car, just at the edge of the street. Now, I know what you're thinking, but OP, what if she backs into it? And I was kinda hoping that this is where it would go. See, I've got great insurance and an even better lawyer, but no. This is how petty she is. She calls the cops. Come knock on our door, push the bike over, go through the front yard. No, calls the cops. The nice policeman informs me that I'm blocking her car from exiting. Yeah, that was kind of the point. I inform him that she started it. I felt like a kid saying that. And honestly, we would have called the police on her for this crap this morning, but it seemed juvenile and a waste of their time. Also, I had to get to work. The cop's response was, "Yes, but that's why we're here." That's just sad. Lets me know our species is doomed. Anyway, once I explain the whole thing, Mr. Policeman knocks on her door, addresses himself, and gets her to come outside. We explain the whole mess, and the cop asks, "Is this true?" She admits it, but can't produce a reason for it. Cop scolds us both for being childish and to stop blocking the driveway, says he doesn't want to have to come back out to our residence again. Ha, yeah, okay. That weekend, we go over to the neighbor's for a few drinks. No, not that one. She doesn't like us, the next duplex over. Their porch is about 30 feet or so from the original scene of the crime. We're not being loud, no music, just a handful of us grilling out and drinking beers. Oh, and among the guests this evening is our landlord himself. Did I mention we were in good with him? So anyway, sure enough, the nice policeman comes by. It's not the same officer as the last time, but Popo nonetheless. He comes to the deck, flashlight in hand, says he got a noise complaint call. Clearly it was her, but what is rib-bustingly hilarious is that the officer said the noise complaint was placed by, wait for it, the landlord of the house. Yeah, no crap. Anyways, landlord steps forward and says, "Funny, I don't remember calling to complain about myself." Once again, we explain everything to the officer. He chuckles, asks us to keep it down, and leaves. After that, Mr. Landlord goes over to her unit. Of course, she doesn't answer the door, but he speaks loud enough for her to hear, letting her know what she did wasn't cool. After that, we tried to avoid one another. There would be minor crap like UPS packages dropped for her. We find it on our side and move it over. Later on, we'll hear through the door, "Keep your hands off my stuff," or other headaches that makes us wish her cats would turn on her. A few weeks later, I'd gotten a promotion at work, so we threw a party. Sure enough, the cops were called again. This one was not placed by the landlord, but he was still there. He yells over at her door, "Hey Karen, this is getting old." This next instance I can't quite take credit for. But Karen had built this obnoxious awning to cover her side of the porch out back. She never uses the porch, so why bother? However, I clearly remember a stipulation in our lease that says we are not allowed to modify the exterior of the units at all. Maybe hers is different. Maybe I should call landlord and find out. What's that? No? She doesn't get to make modifications either? Oh, well, she did. So he makes her remove it. Again, because we're in good with him, he shares the tale with us, how she benched, then begged, and then relented. It was ear candy. Speaking of candy, come Halloween, I decorated the yard. I had heard from multiple neighbors of ours that their children were frightened of my front yard come Halloween. By this point, I should have guessed, though, that the lines were being drawn with Karen, figuratively and literally. I had to move some of my decorations, and that included the 15-foot ghost on the roof of the unit. I had to move it all the way over onto my side. So come Halloween night, we took her son out trick-or-treating, and literally every kid we saw, we told them to go by her place. She had the good candy and lots of it, but she's old and hard of hearing, so you'll have to bang the door pretty hard. No, she won't mind. She's a sweet lady. Now, I realize this was also mean to the kids who went to her door, but they were a worthy sacrifice on the altar of petty revenge. Finale season. It's been about 10 plus months now. The cops haven't had to come back out and no one had been cussed out in a while. One evening, we hear a splatter coming from the kitchen. Go in and find the pipe is busted under the sink and spraying. I quickly go out to the main and close it, but because this is a duplex, I've cut the water off to her side as well. She's not home yet. So we call our buddy the landlord. He comes and addresses the issue. Small part to fix it. Needs to run to Home Depot, be right back. Meanwhile, I type up a note for Karen's door. I let her know that we had a leak, had to shut off the water, but it should be fixed within an hour or two. Even thanked her for understanding. While he's gone, we clean up the water. It was a lot. Then, before he returns, we hear the splatter again. At first, I'm a little confused. I know I turned it off, but then it clicks. I go outside, and there's Karen holding a pipe wrench. I said, "Hey, didn't you see my note?" She says, "Yes, but my cats need water." I said, "Yes, but now you're flooding our unit. I need water." My girlfriend comes out and goes off shouting, calling her a bench. Next door neighbors hear and come out. It's a show now. I go get my wrench to close the main valve again, but she won't move out of the way. She's literally blocking me. I half expect her to take her wrench to my head, so I back off. Sure enough, landlord arrives at the crap show. I say, "Hey, we left her a note." She ignored it and started the water again. The landlord says, "Wait, she what?" Then he turns the light into her, cussing her out. I take advantage of her distraction to go kill the water again, but at this point, the damage is done. It's been running long enough that the carpets are soaked, and the water is pouring out the front door. Meanwhile, the landlord is still yelling at her, "All right, Karen, that's it, you're out of here. This is your 30 days. She replies, "Bull, I've already signed next year's lease." The landlord replies, "But I haven't yet. It's worthless. Tear it up. And I'm taking your deposit to pay for the damages." She melts. But I don't have anywhere else to go." She continues to argue and cry about her deposit. She'll need that for her next apartment. She can't afford to move. She threatens small claims court to get it back. The argument rages on while I take girlfriend and son to go get packed. We can't stay here tonight. We spent the next couple of nights at a hotel while the carpets were redone. He bought the beer and ribs for the next barbecue. Few more weeks go by without so much as a peep from her. One day we come home, and she's just gone. Porch, garage, and apartment all cleaned out. I'm almost disappointed she didn't say goodbye. Honestly, just her deposit being kept and being told, "Get the heck out of here," she got off easy considering she did some serious damages. And realistically, if she had no other option, you think that she wouldn't be acting so crabby and like she owned the place for some reason. Arguably, Odd wrote, "Someone with nowhere else to go should really put more effort into making sure they're welcome to stay where they are. Freak around and find out, Karen." Our next story is Bartender's Petty Revenge on a Queue Jumper. Preface, this story takes place in the UK, where queuing is very important and we take it seriously. The drinking age is 18, but it's not relevant. This isn't technically my petty revenge, but I thought it would be worth sharing nonetheless. I love this sub. A few years ago, I was going to see a few friends for a drink. We'd arranged to meet in a local pub, but some of them said they'd get there a little early to watch the football. As a few of us weren't really into football, we said we'd meet them later on. Queue later on, I got to the pub and went to get a drink. It wasn't overly busy, but there was only one bartender, so there was a bit of a delay at the bar. Found a spot at the bar and waited my turn. There were a couple of guys waiting to my right, and a bit of a gap to my left, to another group who had drinks in hand and weren't ordering. As the bartender walked in front of me, he asked who was next. I nodded vaguely to my right, and off he went to serve the other guys. A few minutes later, a girl, probably barely old enough to drink, stood next to me. You know that feeling when you instantly know someone's going to be rude? I got that feeling straight away. She stood at the bar, arm outstretched, card in hand, not even bothering to look over to anybody else stood at the bar. When the bartender then asked these guys who was next, she shouted across, Yeah, two passion fruit martinis and a pina colada. Remember I said she didn't bother to look at any of us? Well, that was probably a good decision, as I turned to look at the other guys and they were all staring daggers at her. The bartender took her order and began mixing the drinks. Whilst doing so, he looked over at these guys and shot a subtle wink at them. The bartender finished making these drinks and put them on the bar, out of reach of the young lady. He went to the terminal, pressed a few buttons, and said, "Okay, that'll be 186 British pounds and 14 cents. The girl said, "Wait, what?" Quick as a flash, the bartender replied, "There was a round going. The last order was paying the bills. Are you not with these guys?" The girl replied, "Oh, no, I'm just paying for these drinks, thanks." The bartender's reply was very dry. "So you weren't next in line then?" He turned to the other guy stood next to me. "Who was next?" The queue resumed as intended. When the guy standing next to me got served, he pointed at me and said, "This girl's next." At no point in these exchanges did any of the orders come anywhere near the value of the round. I got my drinks. I remember it was under £5 for two ciders and paid. Quietly said, "Nicely done," to the bartender as I did, to which he gave me a knowing smile. I headed back to our table and shared what had happened with my friends. Whilst doing so, some of the guys at the bar looked over to see us staring in their general direction. To my surprise, a few of them waved, with some of my friends waving back. One of my friends explained, "Oh, we were standing at the bar earlier watching the footy with those guys. They're all our team's fans too. Bartender's a fan too, he's sound." The girl was stood there for another 10 minutes waiting to pay for her drinks. She spent the time studying a menu, assumedly not wanting to look at anybody else at the bar. What I really like here is there's not like much outward shaming of her, just stating a factual thing, "Oh, so you weren't next then." And then she has to make the decision of whether or not to stand there and deal with the shame until she can pay for her drinks, or give up and leave and go home. But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another awesome revenge story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.